All right, good evening. This is November 11th, Monday, and the topic this month is Mastering the Space.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, people, I'm delighted to see so many gods and goddesses in this room, and I hope that that is finally sitting in your consciousness and that you realize that you are creators and that you are participating in this life and you are creating what you want in life. That is what we are here for, to prove that to ourselves, that we truly are creative individuals. When I use the word creative, I mean we create things. We create the reality that we are living in, and we do that with our thinking. We do that with this mind of ours. And this month we're talking about mastering the space, and we're going to talk about mental space tonight and what's going on between your ears here. There's a big space up here. So we're going to talk about that. Before we talk about that, I would like to bring up something else. You know that we call this a new thought teaching. And the idea of new thought, what it really boils down to, is that we are one with this thing called God, that we are not separated. That's how they get this new thought routine. But we have to have new thoughts if we're going to bring something new into this world. So tonight I would like us to think for one moment, because today is a very auspicious day. Today is Veterans Day. And we'd like to honor all those veterans and so forth. But I would like to put a stop to Veterans Day. And the only way we can put a stop to it is to have a new thought about it. And to realize that we do not have to go to war. That we do not have to have a military. That we do not have to be fighting constantly. All wars start in the mind. All wars start in the mind. So we have to clear out our minds and clear out that space in ourselves. And how do we do that? It's very difficult sometimes, because I have friends, some of them, believe it or not, are older than I am, and I talked to one the other week, and she said to me, well, we're always going to have wars. This is a very educated person. This is a school teacher. She was a school teacher. She taught people. She's very good at everything, but she will not change her idea about that. I grew up in a family. My father was in the Navy. Not that he ever saw action. He was too old when they took him. But he was in the Navy. And I was around people from the different wars and so forth, because they, in my small town, they participated in the American Legion and the VFW. And they sat around talking about the war and all the wonderful times that they had while their friends were being blown up or whatever was going on. They thought that was wonderful. My mother had a wonderful saying, which she borrowed. She didn't know she borrowed it from Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt said, we need a splendid little war. My mother always said, we need a war to get us out of this stuff, if it was economic or anything. And that's, you know, the Second World War is what brought us out of the Depression. It was the Second World War that did that. So we put a lot of faith into that and a lot of energy into war. And we think, isn't that wonderful? Because industry and so forth thrives and so forth. I don't know if you realize that one of the largest manufacturing plants ever on the face of the earth was built by Henry Ford. And he made planes during his service. And he made planes exactly the way he made cars on an assembly line. And they were able to put out a plane every 55 minutes. And no one realized that you could do that. Germany, in fact, was dumbfounded that we could manufacture so many things. That's all well and good, people. But we're spending so much money still today on war, preparing for war, on instruments of war and so forth. And I think I mentioned this to you a long time ago. This, it's so entrenched in our consciousness that we think we can never, because throughout history there has been wars. Remember the Hundred Year War and all that kind of stuff. We have to start seeing this world differently. We have to have a new thought about this world. A world without war. A world at peace. In unity, they had that wonderful song, "Let peace on earth, and let it begin with me." It has to begin with you, the peace. The same way I've often said to you, we'll never get over domestic violence. As long as people aren't peaceful with themselves, there'll be domestic violence. But we have to raise above that. We have to move up in consciousness, and we have to be able to conceive, to visualize a world without war, a world without strife. We have to be able to move up to the consciousness of God. Many years ago, in the 1920s, I believe it was, at one of the religious science meetings, a woman stood up, a minister, and said, "There is no war in the mind of God. There is no war in the mind of God, people." And what do? We march to war and we say, "God's on our side." God's on everybody's side. So anyway, this is a new thought teaching. So expand that with yourself. Give up this idea. When I tell you that you're puppets of your conditioning, you're absolutely puppets of your conditioning. Because how many people today have honored, and I think we have to honor those people, the veterans, but how many people went a little bit further and said, "I visualize, I imagine, I absolutely see a world without war, a world without war"? Could you imagine how wonderful and how abundant this universe would be, this wonderful planet that we live on would be, if we didn't spend so much money on war, on going to war? I don't know how many people have ever been to Washington, D.C., and do you realize that they have a war college there? Now, that just absolutely upsets me to no end, that they would have a war college teaching war as a curriculum, you know. Of course, we have West Point and Annapolis and all those places. We have to get past this. And the only way we can get past it is by visualizing it, as by giving up that old thought that we have to have war, that war has always been with us. So this friend of mine, I didn't argue with her. I didn't say a word. Because she said, "You know, we've always had war." Oh, and here's the other thing that she said. Dallas, men are aggressive. And they'll always be aggressive. Now, we have to change that. And we may be aggressive. Men may be more aggressive than women. But just because we're aggressive doesn't mean we have to pick up a stick and beat somebody to death with it, for Christ's sake. We have to get over this. So let's honor all the veterans through all these wars and so forth. And let's say that we visualize a brand new world. We have to visualize a brand new world where we just keep making this world the same thing. Remember when I told you, when I was watching television and there was a congressman standing near a Corinthian column, just reminded me nothing has changed since the Roman Forum. Nothing has changed since the Roman Forum. The costume has changed. The rhetoric is exactly the same. You know, we're not fighting the Gauls anymore. Now we're fighting somebody else, but we're always finding somebody to fight with. People hold it in their mind that it's impossible to give up war because we have too many people employed by war. We have too many ships. We have too many guns. We have too many things that we have to do with all these things. Albert Einstein said, "You cannot be preparing for peace and at the same time building a war machine." I paraphrased that slightly. And this is what happens. Everyone says, "Oh, yes, we want peace." But we do not stop building war machines. We do not stop building bigger and better instruments to kill people. And all that creative energy that goes into those weapons could be used in a different way, could be channeled, where this world, where we would have every stream and river on this planet, we could make pure again. We could make it pristine. There would be no poverty whatsoever with the money that we would save from those things. So this is the type of world that you want to start to imagine. And you have to do that. And I would implore you to do it every day. See peace. Say to yourself, "Yes, peace begins with me. And it's going to come out from me. And it's going to influence other people. And I can do that because I am a creative individual. I have the mind of God working for me. And I can change this damn silliness that's going on." So that people aren't dressing up in uniforms. They can get their status somewhere else. They do not have to do it. And I'm not putting this country down. This is the most marvelous country. We have a lot of things that need change. We have a lot of things. But still, I would rather live here than anywhere else. But we have to start changing our thinking about war. And thinking that we have to do it because of economics. It employs people. It employs people. Certainly, there are more creative ways to employ people than to maintain a standing army. Why are we so afraid that we have to have a protection all the time? You see, you can't have that going on in your consciousness, people. You can't have that going on in this mastering the space between your ears. You cannot have that kind of thought going on and getting peace at the same time. You cannot do it, you see. You cannot have a house divided against itself. And when you're not 100% into peace, you're never going to get it. You're never going to get it. And when we have these standing armies going on, and we spend so much money on the latest weapon of mass destruction, or whatever they're out there doing, it has to stop. And I don't mean in the next 10 years, I mean now. This instant. And it can be done. But it can only be done if we all think peace. And if we all see peace. And if we divorce our thinking from the idea that the military is a necessary evil because of the economy, that it runs the economy, and that war will pull you out of anything. It is not right. You cannot go around sanctioning killing. You cannot do that. Remember, I called you gods and goddesses. Do you think gods and goddesses run around killing people? I don't think so. I don't think so. This is not a radical type of thinking. It's not a radical type of thinking. It's a decent way to think. It's a wonderful way to think. And you will find, by thinking that way, that you're drawing peace to yourself. But we have to change. We have to change those things. And the only way we can do it is by changing our consciousness. By saying, that was in the past. And we, as human beings, as spiritual beings, have raised above it. We have to be able to do that. So, absolutely, celebrate Veterans Day. And celebrate it not by buying a mattress, please. Celebrate it by honoring those people that gave their lives for this country, so that we are able to sit here in a free country. We owe that to them. But we do not owe them another century. We do not owe them that. So we must change our thinking. We must come up with a new thought in our mind. So when we call this a new thought teaching, think of that. It not only means that we are one with God. It not only means that we are God in action. It means we are creating a whole new world. And I think, if I am correct, in the Bible, isn't that funny? They're all, and it's not a new Jerusalem that we are creating. It's not a new seems to me it starts with an S. We have to create a whole new world, people. And we're at the forefront of this. If you call yourself a new thought person, if you are into this teaching at all, you have to clear that space, master that space in your mind that yells war, that screams war, that takes war for granted as a thing that is always going to be with us. We can do this, people. And it starts with us. And it moves out from here. But you have to clear your mind. Clear your thinking. Become peace itself. Become peace itself. So, anyway. That's what I have to say about Veterans Day. Now, back to the idea of this space between our ears, this wonderful, wonderful instrument we have. So many times I have said to you, the gift has already been given. And that gift is the mind, is your mind. I think I've told you this before. I'll tell it to you one more time. This mind is yours to use. You are not your mind. This is a great, big, wonderful, let's call it, a spiritual computer. And we have to learn how to use this computer. Scientists tell us that the brain is so magnificent with the things that it can do. And if they build a computer that can do all the things that our mind can do, it would take up half the United States. It would take up half the United States. As you're sitting there right now, you're processing at least 10,000 different things. If you just came from dinner, you're digesting your food. The mind is doing that for you. The mind is doing that for you. You have to know how powerful your mind is. You have to know that you can control your thinking. That this space between your ears is the space that you want to master. We talked last week about physical space. Now we're going to talk about the mental space. We live in a mental world. It's the mind that is causing everything. There is nothing outside the mind that causes anything whatsoever. I don't care what the world tells you, that this happened because of this, that, and the other thing. Jerry brought up this idea of the typhoon that hit and devastated the Philippines. They call it a super typhoon. We didn't have the word super typhoon, super storms, mega storms, super hurricanes and all. Now we do. Why do we have those? It has to start in your mind first, people. Our dear friend Emmett Fox, the mental equivalent, said that we control the weather. We are the ones that are making up the weather. And we constantly hear how the world is changing, how things are melting. And this is causing all these superstorms and so forth. What do? The same thing that we do with war. We buy right into it and say there isn't a damn thing we can do about it. There is something you can do about it. Start changing your mind. Start realizing that you have the power to send this consciousness into those storms. Calm. Wasn't it Jesus who calmed the sea? How did he calm the sea? He said, peace, peace. And the sea listened to him. You cannot say that you do not have the power to control the weather. You have the power to control everything. We have to start doing that. We have to start seeing that. Now, we have to send all our energy, all our good thoughts and so forth, our gratitude, our thanksgiving, and all that to the Philippines, so that those people have the strength to rebuild, and they will rebuild. The human race is resilient. But we have to realize we don't live in a world where a God is sending down brimstone. We don't live in a world where super tornadoes and all this stuff happens without our consent. We are doing this stuff to ourselves constantly. You have to realize that change is inevitable. That just this planet, this wonderful planet that we live on, has gone through many changes. It has gone through ice ages. It has done all kinds of things. It is doing that now. Apparently, the ice is falling off. The water is going to come up. This is going to happen and so forth. But we have to know that we can stop those things. We have to know that we have that power. And that power is between your ears. And that's the space we have to master. The space between our ears. It's all happening up there. You know, all your life is happening in your mind. All the things that you see outside, your mind is doing that to you, is causing those things. The more I live, the more violent things are becoming. The more violent things are becoming. We are taking things for granted. Remember, I call the television the killing machine. You turn it on and you just watch one person after the other drop dead from being shot to death or stabbed to death or what this, that, and the other thing. Murder and mayhem all over the machine. Why can't we have different programming? And we don't have to watch those programs, by the way. But because people watch them, they keep making more. They keep making more. We have to start wanting different programming. And we have to start asking for different programming. And we start with our thinking in our mind. And that is how we are going to change those things. Can you understand that if you have a complete diet of uplifting, heartfelt programming all the time, don't you think that your life would change, that your thinking would change? You see? We watch that stuff and we say, oh my. Now I watch it too. Please, I'm not immune to some of that stuff. But I do. I'm like Raymond Charles Barker. I slap my hand down and say, not a damn word of truth in it. Not a damn word of truth in it. I don't know any murderers. I don't know any thieves and so forth. I don't want to. I don't want to know those people. But if you watch that all the time, you think every other person must be out to get you. We have to change that. You have to realize that no one is out to get you. Now, if you can't change that to no one is out to get you, change it to God is out to get me. God is out to get me. God wants me. Can you see the difference? Can you see the difference? And that might seem funny and far-fetched when I say God is out to get you. But God is out to get you. God wants you. God only succeeds when you succeed. God only succeeds when you succeed. This thing called God would be absolutely incomplete without each and every one of us. God needs each and every one of us. And each and every one of us has something to offer to ourselves, to each other, and to this wonderful world. And one of the things that we can offer to this world is what? Peace. No stress. No strife. Peace. And that exact means no war. No war whatsoever. And I hope that I'm alive when the War College in Washington goes out of business, when they close the door, or they change the name to Peace College instead of War College. We can only do that by changing this thinking up here. By changing this thinking, we can do it. You can do it. But the world is so convincing. And all those politicians and the governments around the world are so convincing that it will be a little difficult, but not impossible to do. We must do it, and must start with us. We must stand up and say, the next time my friend says to me, we'll always have war, I must stand up and say, I don't believe that. And here's what I believe. Which I think will be much better for me, and I'll have peace of mind instead of slapping her. You see. But we have that in people's thinking. And you see, she was a school teacher. She was a school teacher. I have nothing against school teachers. I think they're absolutely wonderful. But you have to remember that when you're teaching, it's not what you're saying. Children pick up all the thoughts that's going on inside of you. See, that's what you hear. That's what they see. You see. So teachers have to be at peace. They have to bring peace to the classroom. And they have to teach peace. And when they're teaching history, they can say, this is ancient history. This is the way human beings used to behave. We have evolved past that. We now have control of our emotions. We have control of our emotions. You see, everyone thinks that they can think this, that, and the other thing. And you can. But it's the emotion that's going to get you every time. It's the emotion that's going to get you. So with this space between the ears, we want to clear out, we want to get rid of all the stuff that is hampering us and hindering us from becoming the divine beings that we truly are. And we can do that. We can do that. And if it starts with one person, then it starts with one person. But we have a room full here, and there's enough of us here. And remember, the consciousness of Gandhi. Gandhi defeated with his consciousness a nation, one of the greatest nations at that time. He defeated it with his consciousness. He did not allow his mind to become warlike. He kept it peaceful at all times. And this is what we want to do. We want to keep our mind peaceful so that we can use this wonderful divine computer that we were given to use. It seems very strange and very funny. I'll admit that we weren't given any directions on how to use it. But we're learning how to use it. And we're learning what the mind can do. We're learning what the mind can do. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now scientists tell us that with this wonderful computer, that if we build it, we'd take a path to the United States. But we only use 5% of it. They used to say 10%. We use 10% of our mind. Now they're down to saying we only use 5% of our mind. So that 95% is the space between your ears that you want to master. You want to master that other 95%. Does it ever occur to you what could be back there? What else could I be doing? How else could I be thinking? Could I think differently? Can I change this around? Yes, you can. It takes a little effort. Because the world is convincing. And other people are convincing. But we have to be strong now. And we have to be what's called spiritual warriors. Although I don't like that term, I like spiritual. I don't like the word warriors. But we're not warring against each other. We're standing up for our own thinking, our own mind. And we're taking that 95% back, that wonderful space back, and we're learning to master that. We're learning to master that. And you do that by affirming that every day. I'm using more and more of my mind. The more you use of your mind, the more mind you have to use. They have proven this up one side and down the other. You see, people who use their mind live longer. They live longer because they're interested in everything. They're mastering the space. They're mastering. They say, oh, what can I, ooh, what creative stuff can I come up with now? This is what you want to do for yourself. This is how you master the physical space, the mental space. And next week we're going to do the spiritual space. They're all one, you see. We just break them up so we can talk about them. You have to realize how powerful you are. And if your mind for one moment tells you that you're not powerful, you must correct that. I was watching a cute little movie, The Librarian. Does anyone know that? And the librarian, whoever was playing that cat, Noah Wild was his name, was with his protector. We'll call her the protector. And he said something derogatory about himself. She slapped him. And she said, no one says anything bad about the librarian. Not even the librarian. And that's what you have to remember. we allow ourselves. If somebody else said, oh, you dumb dope, you let them perhaps get away with it. Or you may not let them get away with it. But how many times do you do that to your own self and take your power away? And take your power away. Instead of saying, listen here, buddy. Listen here, bucko. I'm in charge here. I'm the one that's controlling my thinking. And I'm mastering the space between my ears. And I'm opening up new and better and bigger avenues so that every synapse in my mind is being used. Is being used. It is estimated that we process over 60,000 bits of information every second. 60,000 bits of information every second. You don't know that and you don't feel that because you filter it out. You filter it out because you're only interested in what you're interested in. See, if you're not interested in something, you don't hear it. You don't hear it at all. That's why you have to get interested in peace. And that's why you have to realize that you can do it, you see. Otherwise, that warring part will win every time. Because you filter it out. Wonderful experiment for you to do. If you, let's use a car. If you want to see, start thinking about Rolls Royces, we'll say. Start thinking about Rolls Royces right now. And tomorrow, think about Rolls Royces. And start to see how many you'll start to see. You don't see Rolls Royces because you don't think about them. They're all over. And the other reason why you think they're very sparse. You see, you think there's only a few Rolls Royces. There's tons of Rolls Royces around. You don't see them because you filter them out. You see Fords and Chevys or whatever else you're thinking about. But that's what the mind does. It filters things out. Learn to control your thinking. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. Don't let somebody else think for you. And certainly don't let this world think for you. You see, you can change the world. We can all change the world. But it has to start with us. Anything that we are doing has to start with us. I don't care what it is. You see, if you want abundance, it has to start with you. And here again, why do people who live in the abundant world not have abundance? Because they do not see it. And because they're usually thinking lack and limitation. And if you're thinking lack and limitation, that is what you're going to see. So, people say, well, I'm not abundant. Well, hell, I know you're not abundant. I didn't say that. I said, start thinking abundance, and you'll start seeing it. And you'll start seeing it. How many people know that little thing? I'll believe it when I see it. But you have to believe it first, and then you'll see it. If you're waiting to see it to believe it, forget it. It starts with belief, people. everything starts with belief. Okay? Last week, we had the three things, and they work constantly and continually. And that is, ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will open. You have to say those things, and you have to knock. You can't say, well, I can't get that. You go, knock. And just keep knocking, and the door will open. I don't care. You know. And that is a wonderful little thing, story in the Bible, where the man wanted the bread at night time. He went to the house, and the knock, 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 and say five, he turned the light on upstairs and yelled down, we're not coming down, you're not getting ready. He just kept knocking. Finally, the guy came down, opened the door, and gave him bread. I mean, if you have to be a nuisance, be a nuisance. But be a divine nuisance. Be a divine nuisance. You see? You can do that to people, and you can irritate people. But you irritate them divinely. I know people get tired of me, you know? Because I say, oh no, I don't believe that. I believe that. Yeah, rah, rah. Oh, Dallas, you're such a nuisance. Go away, go away. I'm not going away. I don't care. I can be a nuisance. But a divine nuisance. You see? You can be irritating. You can be all those things. Sometimes you have to irritate somebody to get a healing. To get a healing, you have to irritate. You know. So, think of those things. So, this mental space between your ears, learn to use it. Why do we want to go another minute by believing that we only use 5% of our brain? I say, oh, okay, that's all right. I can get along with that. I've gotten along all these years with 5%, and I'm doing pretty good. So I'll just, you know, and I'm going to die anyway. So what's the use of opening up the 95%? I say open it up. I say knock, 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 till that door opens and lets the 95%. So you can walk into the 95%. We have to be able to do that. I don't want to continue with the world for another 100 years saying, oh, well, you're only using 5% of your mind. Now, does anyone absolutely think that this thing called God would give you this magnificent tool called a mind or a brain or whatever you want to call it, consciousness, whatever, I don't care, and then only allow you to use 5% of it? Only allow you to use 5% of it? We have to be able to use the whole thing. I want to use my whole thing, you know, that's what, you know, with the doctors and so forth, when I go, which is rarely because I have something about them. you know, when I was having gallbladder trouble, immediately everyone said, oh, well, you could have that ripped out. You know, they'll just suck it out. That's what God made. Uh-huh. They said, well, just like a vacuum, we'll just suck it out. I said, you're not sucking anything out of me. They said, well, it's only going to get worse. I said, no, it's not going to get worse. The last time I went to see him, I said, well, what happened to all those gallstones that you told me they were too numerous to count? I said, what happened to them? I don't have a gallbladder. My brother, see, that's why I don't mention this, especially to the people who live in the land of Nod. They immediately say, oh, Dallas, that's easy. Just have it sucked out. Friend that I went to high school with, she had her sucked out. Then they never told her that you had the same symptoms because now you have no gall. to have just the food. But they never told her she could take salts and stuff different. You have to replace that whatever that is, gall in you. Now they tell me she's doing fairly well. I could care less if she's doing fairly well or not. I thought, why'd you have it sucked out to begin with? Why don't you ask before you do this stuff? You see? You don't have to have this stuff. You see? You do not. You can use your mind. I sat down and I used my mind. I also used my hand, by the way. I do tapping. And whatever happened, if I crushed those or passed them or what, I don't know where gallstones go to. I knew where they come from, by the way. Did I tell you this? And wait till you hear this little thing. I said, oh, you must be joking. Gallstones are cholesterol. And they are formed in the liver. And they're sent to the gallbladder for storage so that the liver can keep functioning. So I said to him, if you're going to suck my gallbladder out, what's going to happen to all those stones that my liver is manufacturing? He said, well, your liver is much bigger. It can contain more. Now, was that an answer? Was that an answer? No, that's not an answer. Not an answer. Think for yourselves. Open this wonderful mind that you have. Tell yourself every day, I'm going to use more of my mind. I'm going to think bigger and better thoughts about myself. I'm going to think bigger and better thoughts about the world that I live in. And I'm certainly going to think bigger and better thoughts about this thing we call God. And I'm going to just keep thinking and thinking and thinking. And I'm going to keep asking till I receive what I want. And I'm going to keep knocking till I get what I want. And I'm going to ask for what I want. And what I want for myself and for each and every one of you is peace of mind. That peace which passes all understanding. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.